5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
There you have it, guys. Rest in peace to Keith Flint of The Prodigy. You know, welcome to the General Bander podcast. What the fuck is happening? I've got small headphones in today, you know what I mean? So I can keep my hood up because this garage is minus fucking 14 up in this bish. You know what I'm saying? Must say, big fan of The Prodigy and especially that song. That song, I think, was the first ever single that I ever bought. So back when you used to have to buy tapes and CDs and whatnot, I think I might have actually had that on a tape because it was in that transitionary period where it was like, do you want to pay this for the tape or do you want to pay fucking this much for a CD? So I was like, do you know what? Just give me the tape, bro. And then it literally used to scare me, you know? There's something about it that's kind of scary, you know? It's like fucking, especially when you're, when did that come out? When the fuck is there going to even be a date on this? 2008, but it was out obviously way fucking before that. I don't know. But yeah, I think my granny bought me it and I used to listen to it in a wee fucking tape player in her spare room and it scared the fuck out of me. I would play it for a couple of seconds. You know, like the start of it. Like, just that noise was like, creepy. It already sounds like a fucking horror movie. And then he looks like Satan. So aggressive, right? I mean, it's literally punk and, you know, drum and bass, as Maureen said, the two fucking craziest types of music. I know a bunch of metalheads be like, dude, what about fucking metal? And you're like, metal people are nerds, you know what I'm saying? I'm the fear addicted. They're all like fucking, yeah, shouting, but they're literally in the bedroom going, doing all that shit. Fuck off. Illustrated. I'm a fire starter. Twisted fire starter. So aggressive, bro. So aggressive. But yeah, Lethal, there's an old promo video that I did for some fucking gig that was like a... Sorry, I'll just turn that up a wee bit. It was like for... a promo for like the live audio picnic back when we did audio picnic podcasts, and I was wearing a fucking t-shirt with it. I bought it on the internet. It was like his face, like a stencil. So yeah, being a Prodigy fan, seen them a bunch, Seen him in the Odyssey a couple times, maybe once, can't remember. Very awkward, you know what I mean? Guy came up to me like, do you have a lighter, mate? And I was like, bro, the last thing you need, you could still smoke inside, how crazy is that? Imagine smoking in the Odyssey, like, fucking demented. I don't know if it was legal or not, but like when there's that many people, you're just like, you know, just fucking smoking away. But yeah, big fan of the Prodigy. And then it sent me on a fucking wormhole. And obviously, like, you have to play Firestarter because it's literally like, I heard Annie Mack on the radio yesterday and she was like, oh yeah, he literally was the fact. He's like, if there was a physical embodiment of rave, it was Keith Flint, like. Even though the other dude made all the fucking music. But he's literally the Prodigy. Might have liked this a bit better. So goddamn aggressive. See when all those rugby fucking tarts used to sit in the changing room and hug each other and go, fucking come on! Yeah, we're playing hard today! And all. I used to sit in the corner. They're all like, dude, staring at each other in the mirror and all fucking psyching themselves up. Nah, bro, psyching. Serial killer in the corner. Just going, I'm not even here to win. I'm here to hurt people. And that's literally how I thought. The fact there was a ball on the pitch was completely coincidental when I played rugby. Sounds and looks like a nightmare, you know? That fucking in the background, whatever the fuck that is. Someone like whipping a chain. Literally, it's hellacious. It just looks like fucking a nightmare. Literally, like a bad dream. Like fucking sleep paralysis. I must say, whenever they announced he was dead and everyone was talking in our wee comedy group, it was literally a case of, it's like, oh, Keith Flint's dead. And I said to Dave Elliott, I was like, but of course. You know what I mean? If he was drugs. You know, we in the Prodigy? No, I'm drugs. And he said... He said, yeah, worm-infested, twisted animators don't tend to last that long. And did I nearly shit myself laughing? I did. Fucking hilarious. Anyway, guys, welcome to the General Banter Podcast. And, you know, let's play this fucking intro and then I'll tell you about some shit. Know what I mean? The General Banter Podcast with Paul and Jettis. Right about you, baby. I want you to get yourself and your soul together. This man will make your liver quiver. This man will make your bladder splatter. Let's all welcome the world's godfather of soul. Poland Jettis. It's Jettis, actually. Jettis. 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 Fuck you. Dog running around outside. Lunatic. Okay, let me tell you some shit here, guys, right? I'm wearing these glasses. Because, why not? It's dull as fuck outside, and this makes you feel like you're on holidays, you know? And I also feel like I like to look like a porn director. Let me tell you some shit that's happening. Obviously, I'm doing the Odyssey, okay? And I want to say thanks to everyone who bought tickets up front, because the early bird tickets went out, and basically, the promoter said to me, if you can sell this many on the first kind of launch of the tickets, then the whole thing will sell out, probably no problem. And I think we absolutely exceeded that on the first day of sales. So, what are you even worried about? I wouldn't be surprised if we're damn near halfway sold with about fucking a bunch of months to go. So, I mean, like, you know, Mickey Bartlett wasn't praised. He was not praised. You know, he was talking about doing the fucking Ulster Hall. And I went, I sold. And I was like, sit down. Sit down. I'm going to straddle you and get right in your face and go, I sold more than the capacity of your gig on the first day. All right. So, you know, take that back to Lurgan with you. Tell all the other cretins. I don't mind Lurgan, actually. But I feel it's fun to take the piss out of Mickey like that. But yeah, unbelievable response. Can't believe it. I mean, this is what happens. You know, you push the boat out a wee bit, people get behind you. People go, fucking fair play to you. Let's do this. And I don't take it lightly, you know. People are just like, that's a flex. They're like, oh, I'm glad I can do this and I feel good. Nah, bring the fucking house down. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go in there and fucking blast the roof off it like it's nothing. Like it's a, playing the Odyssey, bro. Like it's fucking nothing. These headphones are very sensitive and I can hear all my mouth noises there. It makes me feel sick. Okay, so the Odyssey, it's on sale. If you want to get yourself a ticket for that. People were saying that the floor seats weren't available. They absolutely were. Because I freaked out. I was like, does early bird mean you can only book the stands? And I double checked with the promoters and they're like, no, everything's on sale. So there was a few people saying like, if you refreshed it a couple of times, then the floor seats became available. So I don't know what the crack was there, but I don't know. But it will be done in theater style. I don't know if it's a new thing. They used to do like a half sort of size thing. When you get really get down to the technicalities of somewhere like the Odyssey, it's weird when you really start to break it down. Because people, I was talking to Cormac McDermott from the Barrack Boys, Notorious Barrack Boys, and he's like, "Oh mate, must be great playing the 11,000 people." And I was like, "Never will you get 11,000 people in the fucking Odyssey." I think at a sold out standing concert, it's 9. Sorry, a bit of song going on in the background. Maureen's dad's doing the bathroom because I can't fucking do any DIY. I literally can't DIY. I have to get someone else to DIFM, do it for me. So where was it? Yeah, so I was like, yeah, maybe at a full sellout. And he goes, oh, that's weird. I had a mate of mine thought it was like 20,000. And I was like, I don't even think Tenants Vital would have fucking 20,000 at it. You mental? Here's the Odyssey for a comedy gig. Full hall. 5,000, which is not good because there's an echo. So we went to see Brian Cox. His was supposed to be 5,000. The back stand wasn't really filled. It was probably like 4. And that's when you get into the technicalities of it. If you sell at the 5, if you want to try and do 5,000, double the price to rent. Or do you do 3.5, sell it out. They move the stage forward a little bit to take it from being a fucking long rectangle to almost like a tight oval. And everyone can see. You know what I mean? Even if you go full fucking even if you go full size one, at a certain point they taper in the people from the side because you can't watch from the side. So there's a lot of stand and seat, or a lot of seats at the side empty anyway. It's mad when you actually get right down into it and you look at it and you go, okay, this is how many tickets I need to sell, and this is the strategy behind it. It's not that exciting when you break it down, you know. But I don't know where the fuck I'm going with that. It's on sale. And about half of them have gone. So, get the fuck on it, guys. You know what I mean? There you have it. Doing a big gig next year. By that stage, it's... Oh, bro, we're doing video. We're doing everything, mate. They're doing videos. We're doing big, angry material. And we'll never be invited back. You know what I mean? There you go. Just do it. I mean, literally, fucking... By the time I do it, there'll be fucking 15 other cunts doing it. But, that's just the way it goes, isn't it? Someone's got to fucking take the first shot. That's on sale, okay? Lavery's Comedy Club is still there. The Odyssey is like the big show. Lavery's Comedy Club is like the gym where we have to go and do our reps, you know? You got to go just fucking write new material, eat shit a few times. But it's a fun process. If you're a real comedy fan, that's where you go to watch comedians be comedians, you know? So that's tomorrow night. It's MMC and Mickey Bartlett's headlining. George Quinn, Magic George, is on. He's fucking hilarious. And Ronan Linsky's on. And that's it. It's going to be great. We've got lineups booked for the next while. It's just Lavery's, bro. It's class, you know? Get in there. The charity gig. First of all, we had a charity gig organized. It was for cancer sort of care. Marie Curie and friends of Dave Elliott's, who are very, very sick at the minute because the world is an evil cunt. And there's my phone, of course. Who would it be? Speak of the devil, Dave Elliott. Fuck me. I feel like I need to get up and stretch off before I delve into this heap of shit. We were advertising that gig, okay? And I remember back in January, we did a New Year, New Material night. And someone was like, oh, New Year, New Material, still no females on the bill. And we had to explain to this person, who will remain genderless, what the crack was. And you're sort of going, this is a bunch of mates organising a gig. You know, we're just flogging it to death. Like, yeah, there's not as many female comedians. As there are dudes, right? You know, so the percentage is the same. The ones that are quality, you know, fucking bloody blah. So if there's 10 good comedians, you might get one good for you. All that shit. And it was basically, and then a bunch of fucking sort of LGBT folk jumped on just for the fucking cause. So sure enough, a few months go by and Dave Elliott wants to run this charity gig. So obviously, none of the acts get paid. So he asks his friends, do us a favour, jump on at this gig, blah blah. I give him a bit more information about running gigs because we run a lot more gigs. So I was like, Dave, he was like, I don't want to mention this, that this is for charity. And I'm like, but that's, if you don't mention it's for charity, then people aren't going to give you more money for charity. I was like, you got to mention that it's for charity. You got to sell it as a big fundraiser. We can charge a lot more for a ticket because people are generous and it is a big lineup and it's going to be a fucking fun night. Without a doubt, it's going to be a great night. So you're getting your money's worth. And I still heard on the radio that a tribute band for Johnny Cash was 25 quid into some fucking hall somewhere. So I was like, listen, you're getting to see fucking 8 comedians here do original material and be funny. People get weird about paying for comedy for some reason. But so anyway, he puts the poster up. We sell it. There's like 200 tickets. We sell a chunk of tickets. There's a few remaining tickets. And then this guy, if he can be referred to as a guy, I don't know what the gender setup is going on here, goes, you know, retweets it from months ago whenever I posted it. And he's like, you know, I'm paraphrasing, absolutely, I could find it, but it was, there was such a shitstorm after it that I can't even be arsed fucking going back. But he basically was like, okay, I realise that it's for a good cause, but do you not think you could have, you know, had a more diverse lineup, basically? And I was like, are you out of your fucking mind, bro? You're gonna fucking pick holes in a charity fundraiser for cancer? Are you Satan? Like, are you actually fucking? I mean, talk about the fucking left eating its asshole. What sort of fucking sociopath do you have to be? And then he goes, I actually wrote back, it's a bunch of friends raising money for other sick friends. We don't need to fill a quota. Absolutely impenetrable answer, that. Elon Musk wrote that. Jokes, it was me. Unbelievable. So then he goes, oh, I understand that it's for a good cause, but if you diversified the lineup, maybe it would have a wider appeal. And I went like this. Oh, both barrels? I said, the comedians with the widest appeal are already on the poster. Now, download the Amazon app, type in snorkel, Prime delivery, it's there in a day. Put it on, put your trunks on, get a small trampette, like a little trampoline, and I'll already be doing a headstand with my asshole pulled open, and you get right in there. You know? Fucking dickhead. Unbelievable. And then once Dave had fucking sent him this message explaining everything, the guy was like, okay, I'm sorry, bloody blah. And you're like, fuck sorry. And then, oh my God, the absolute fucking cherry on the cake, the cherry on the Bert and Ernie gay cake. He goes, okay, well, could you get, you know, some of the guys to take down, you know, their responses to the tweet because it's creating a toxic environment. Ah! Fucking dildo. Unbelievable. I mean, what a fucking, this is these activist people. Your want to be an activist is stronger than your want to be a fucking good human being. You know? Oh, I I'm morally fucking above you guys, so I get to pick holes and, you know, these little things that I say. No, you don't. You're being a fucking cock. We're trying to raise money for cancer. You fucking cock. Can you fucking take that down, please? Because it's creating a toxic environment. You did it. You did this. You started it. You literally started it. You know, you sound like you're in a fucking playground. You fucking started it. I was in the zoo there, and the sign said, don't put your hand through the bars. And I put my hand through the bars because that's my right as a human, and a bear bit it off. So I'd like to sue the zoo. That's what happens, cockface. You know what I mean? Play with fire. You know what I'm saying? Dickhead. Like, fucking... That was the first time in my whole life that I've ever been offended.
I think you could put some...
Who's assuming genders now? You know what I mean? Who knows? Shane and Dave, definitely gay. You know what I mean? Kieran Bartlett may or may not be a female. I can't fucking tell. Mickey, I've got a photo on my phone where he's tucked his cock in between his legs, and he has decent enough tits that if he shaved them, he would probably bang him. You know? Unbelievable. It's just fucking... It's... Oh, my God. Unbelievable, like...
Sorry, I seem to have noticed there's an equality issue here with the fact that you're raising money for dying people.
Fucking cock, like... Do you want to be dead on for five fucking... This is the dead on mafia in action right now. If that was a real thing, which started as a joke, we would all pull fucking pink balaclavas on and balaclavas and just go around his house. Hello? You're like, ch-ch-ch. Equality this. Poof, and shoot a rubber dildo up his asshole. What a fucking cock. Sorry, I just like to bring up gender issues. And it literally doesn't matter. It so doesn't matter. And see, anyone that has a problem with fucking, you know, all this gender equality and, you know, you need all the genders fucking represented in your comedy club and all. No, you fucking don't. No one's playing a fucking violin for the reams of heterosexual males that don't get on at, like, Lavery's, for example, because they eat fucking buffets of shit with two chopsticks. You know, no one's like, I think you should really give him a chance because he's a cisgendered white male who happens to have a comedy disability. I'll tell you what he is. Fucking humor retarded. That's why he's not on at Lavery's. You know what I mean? Oh my God. Separate my gape and get in it.
I think you're creating a toxic environment.
You walked into the room, shat in the middle of the room, and then you went, it stinks in here. You fucking shat in the middle of the room. Ah! LGBT. Loser. Gimp. No, that's unfair. But, I mean, it's just fucking... It's painful. You're just like, what the fuck is wrong with these people? I don't know whether it's a generational thing where, like, literally the generation between me and fucking whatever generation was before it is like, oh, they just don't suffer in uncomfortableness. You know, I don't have to feel uncomfortable ever. I don't have to come up against any sort of fucking, you know, challenge that I have to overcome. I don't get disagreed with. I don't have any adversity in my life. I just sit here and go, I'm allowed to say stuff, and then you're not allowed to say stuff back because that would be toxic. Listen, Brittany. I'm going to shave my head and beat you to death with an umbrella, Brittany style. It's Brittany, bitch. That's why, if she hadn't got back in shape, she'd look like me right now. I can't believe that. Do you discriminate against white males who aren't funny enough? You know, he's comedy disabled. He's of mixed ability when it comes to setups and punchlines. Unbelievable. We really went off on one there. What I want to say now, guy, we had a gig on Friday night there at the Limelight. It was a sold out General Banter live podcast, which is no more a podcast. It's more of a fucking just show. We got some videos. We upload some videos from that. It was very funny. The last podcast that we did, we reviewed some porn, the porn vlog with that girl Brooklyn Blue goes around Belfast. We played that live, and my God, was it funny as a motherfucker. But basically, I ordered these t-shirts from monsterpress.co.uk. Shout out to them for fucking not delivering on a correct date. But the girl said, yeah, we'll rush these through. It'll be delivered for 1st of March, and they weren't. So we had no limited edition merch. But this is them. You know, you got the black t-shirt. I'll put up photos of this on Instagram. Got the black t-shirt, and on the back, it's got a full fucking spread there. General Banter Podcast, live in Belfast, 2019. There will be three other gigs this year, big ones. So we could probably sell these. But what I might do is I might just put them online because they're fucking badass as shit. We're collecting stickers today as well. So if you see this on Instagram, the first basically batch, there isn't even 100. Yeah, the full. If we sell every single one of them, which I doubt we will, every single one of them will have like a sticker pack with it, a couple of stickers, original, Dead On Mafia, and General Banter Podcast. But there you have it, guys. Got some sweet t-shirts. Weren't even there on time. Absolutely livid. I was like, I don't worry about it. It only cost £1,200 to print, you fucking bastards. I basically have a stack of t-shirts now. Also, shout out to the Fat Bitches because we also got some 3XLs. And by Fat Bitches, I mean I'll probably be wearing those too. But yeah, we got some big sizes for the big bitches because that's all I get is, oh, mate, have you not got a fucking triple XL to squeeze my teats in? Yeah, we do now. What I forgot to mention was that the gig for the cancer fundraiser is actually sold out now. And I'd say a lot to do with it, or a thing that had a lot to do with it, was the fact that there was a public row going on about, you know, the lineups. Unbelievable. Unfucking believable. Can you even behold? Anyway, we did the live podcast Friday night, had a great time, played our porn videos. There's something weird about those Limelight shows now where they have to be done by 10. So it's a case of like, I do apologise for that. We had to just kind of end the other night. We just kind of went, okay, we got to go now. Because the rep who works for thing is basically staring at me from the side of the stage. Like, you said you'd be done by 22 and it's 10-2 now. And we've to turn this fucking place around and strip down like 400 seats. And, you know, get the shit ready for Shine where there's a DJ coming in. And, so yeah, I said I would hang about and everything, and by the time you go off stage and go upstairs and fucking do whatever you have to do and come back down, everyone's out, you know, and the place is like, like the fucking thing's actually kicking off downstairs. So yeah, I don't know, we couldn't really hang about the way we wanted to. We couldn't really play as much. We had other stuff planned and it stopped. We had to just stop, which made me very sad. But we'll fix it for the next time. Whether we have to sort of start it at like 7, you know, there's a lot of shit does start at 7. But if we could have afforded ourselves another 10 minutes, you know, the end of the show would have got real fucking rowdy. So we did that and then we just fucking went home. And me and Aaron sat up to about 4 in the morning. I'm gonna, you know, I'm such a dickhead where I'll do a thing, I've talked about this before, like an extra fucking 400 times than I need to, and then go, oh, I don't need to do this, and drinking's one of them. See, in this day and age, like, you know, you just fucking drink a bunch doing a live podcast, and then we had a few beers after, and then Mickey bought a couple of beers for the car and we drove home for fucking 50 minutes, and then me and Aaron just sat and talked shit, and that was it. We didn't have any drink past about 12 o'clock, but we stayed up to about 4 talking shit, and it felt like pure death the next day. We were going to Donegal, had to get ready, and went the whole way up to Donegal. I was already hungover and it was pissing down, and we went with Maureen's like sisters and their partners, and then her mum and dad decided to go last minute. So, you know, keep it all in the family, guys. And I was already hungover, had to get up there. I was literally like, I've driven up here, I am going for a nap. as soon as we get here, which is so 32 years old. And I went for a fucking sleep and got up and then started drinking. And then, of course, drank to 4 a.m. again. You know? For absolutely no reason. I mean, this place, Donegal, is beautiful. This house we always go to. And it's, oh, fly. Brilliant. It was pissing down. And we just fucking sat in the house as it was like, it's going buck mad outside. And then I fucking just woke up the next day, dying. Went for lunch, dying. You know, this right beside the sea, so the fucking waves were carrying the seawater up. My car looked like a fucking, like it had snowed on it. There was that much fucking salt. Put the window down, all the salt blew in. It was all over the fucking car. Called that a nightmare. And like, we're in this beautiful spot where I've made vlogs before and we've went for fucking walks and shit. Didn't do any of that. Didn't do any walks until the day after before we're leaving. And I was like, I just paid for a fucking trip for everyone to go up here, and I was dying the whole time, wasted it, did fuck all, and then just came home, and I was literally like, that was the post-show, let's have a wee bit of a rest, and in actual fact, it turned into, oh yeah, you just knocked about a year off your life there, and then I have to come home on the Monday, Tuesday, and then fucking rest. Interesting. But yeah, I'm see the drinking thing, I'm just like, what the fuck is going on with this? Like, and I don't know how many times I have to do it again where I'm just like, that was pointless. It's not like a mind trick. I'm definitely not an alcoholic where I'm like, oh yeah, I need drinks or I need alcohol to cope with anything or any of that shit. It's just, I get tricked every time when there's threat of pints to be like, fucking yeah, pints. And then even during the pints, I'm like, don't feel good. And then hangover, I'm like, this is absolutely bullshit, you know? To the point where I'm like, literally, you're just like, I can't do anything today. I get those hangovers now where I'm like, okay, just get through today so that you'll feel better tomorrow. Horrendous. So at this point, I'm just like, what the fuck am I doing? You know, I've definitely went long periods of time without drinking, but then you always end up going back and then there'd be like a quick succession of fucking drinks in a row. But like, you're just like, I'll tell you what fucking booze does, right? And I've heard Aaron say this about weed, but then he went to, you know, fucking Australia, and now he's turned into, or not Australia, he went to America, and now he's turned into fucking Snoop Dogg over here. But it's you don't need alcohol to have fun, but what alcohol does do is make doing seemingly nothing seem way funner, you know? So you can sit in a house in Donegal in the pissing rain and everyone have drinks, and you can talk shit for days, and you're like, oh, it was kind of fun, and then the next day you feel like absolute wank. For what? Like, it's total shit, you know? There's so many times, like, you know, that you would go somewhere and have drinks and celebrate, and it's the drinking makes the celebration seem worth it, you know? I've been at a wedding recently where I drove, not that it wasn't a fucking lovely wedding, but you're sort of like, yeah, if I'm not drinking here, I'm like, I've got my fill of what's going on here. You know, we see the service, we eat the dinner, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we're all having good crack. Let me go. Let me fucking out of here. You know, there's a lot of shit where it's like, you know, oh, we'll get together. We'll go out on the piss or something. Like, it's like, if you're not drinking, all of those things aren't fun. Come on, we'll fucking sit here for fucking whatever all afternoon on a sunny day. Getting pissed all day, which actually is kind of the best thing of all time. But if you didn't have drink involved, you'd be like, okay, we've chatted here for 2 hours. I'm bored of sitting on a bench for fucking 2 hours while everyone smokes around me. Do you know what I mean? You're like, there are way more productive fucking things to do than just fucking sit and drink endlessly for hours. And I think I'm just growing out of it a bit. Do you know what I mean? I've done plenty of drinking, and I'm just like, what's the point? If there's anyone out there that did drink and doesn't drink anymore, I think it's different if you've never drank, and people are like, yeah, I'm grand with it. My sister doesn't drink anymore, and I'm sort of just going the same way. I mean, in an ideal world, I would get those little weed fucking crayons that I had in LA. If someone could just send me 200 of those, and I could just be like, here we are, guys, having a fucking ginger ale with a lime in it, partying, you know, off my tits. But it's just the fucking punishment on your body of like, yeah, I'm going out and I'm going to have fucking 14 pints. What? What's the fucking point? Like, just so your mates seem funnier. I mean, what you really want to do is just hang about with your mates and you could probably do way funner shit. I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting old and you just get a bit more aware of time. You're like, oh, am I really going to fucking sit here and drink 8 cups of this wank and then 2 days go by and I've eaten 18 takeaways? Just because I feel a bit like shit, which I did to myself. It's mental. A couple of these guys talking to at jiu-jitsu a while ago, and he was like, oh yeah, I don't fucking drink anymore. And I was like, what was the crack? And he goes, I don't know, I tried to go off it for like a month. And then I was thinking there was nothing coming up the next month, and I did another month. And then I was like, I'll see how long I could do this. And then he was like, I went to my brother's stag do, didn't drink at that. And I think once you get over all the hurdles of just not really giving in to drink, you really are just like, I don't see the point in this. And I think, like, especially for me, I'm like, I'm doing it because everyone's kind of doing it and it's a release for a lot of people, but that's not a fucking release for me anymore. Now it feels like, oh shit, I'm doing my stuff here and then I'm gonna have to fucking go drink in the middle of this, and that's gonna set me off a couple of days, and then I'm gonna have to get back into my shit again. So I'm at the point where I'm just like, fuck this shit, I can't even be arsed. I remember seeing a Casey Neistat thing, and he turned up to a party and he said his hellos and everything, and he goes, all right, I gotta go. And then he went back and just did his own shit, because you're like, that's what he likes doing. And you're at a party sober and you're like, okay, what am I gonna do? Said all my niceties. Am I gonna stay here for another 5 fucking hours just drinking? It seems like such fucking bullshit. I don't know. Owl man, getting owl over here. But if, I don't know, if anyone's got any tips, anyone that drank and then stopped, because I'm definitely not addicted. I don't really like it. But it's like, it's the just giving in to the fact that, like, oh yeah, we're drinking after this. Or there's a lot of times where it's just like, oh yeah, this is the fucking routine. You know, blah de blah, go around. Someone's cracking beers. We drink on a Friday night. You know, oh, we do this. Oh, we're going to watch the rugby and we're going to drink. You know, we're going to do this and then we drink. We do this live podcast show. We drink on stage. We drink after. Like, it's like there's certain things which is like, it's just a fucking routine almost. It's just like a habit, which I'd like to just be like, no, what's the fucking point? You know, especially when you're just chugging so much goddamn drink. I mean, this is, but you do need something. You know what I mean? Being sober all the time isn't that fucking great. Gotta let loose. But maybe it's a gift and a curse when you're like a big lad, the quote unquote big lad who can down fucking 100 pints. But then of course you have to process. There was a video on Lad Bible or something. This guy was just chugging pints because it was like his 20th or 30th birthday or something. He's just necking pints, necking pints, necking pints. Big fat dude. And you're like, that's actually not really that funny after a while. You're like, you know, this big heap of shit is just going to fucking collapse on the floor. But anyway, that's it, guys. That's the boring bit. That's me talking about real serious shit there. Getting real fucking serious. How long have we talked for? We've talked for 37 minutes up in this bitch. See this Momo thing? Fuck cleaner. You know what I mean? I hate these fucking internet things that come along and they're like, I don't get it. It's a viral hoax. The Momo challenge is real. So I don't know I don't even know what the fucking is it.
Today, people across the world are spreading awareness.
I actually choose to watch American shit over watching any other type of reports, because it's like, can you believe it? There's a goddamn doll telling people to kill themselves. Your woman's like, I don't know what's wrong with blackface.
Prevention Day.
Well, right here in Colorado, parents are warning each other about a new...
Blackface is weird, isn't it? You know, I mean, like... It's a weird... I mean, because of obviously the history of those black and white minstrel shows and shit, but... I don't know. Like, your woman gets sacked from some American thing because she was like, what's wrong with blackface if you're going as a black person? And I would tend to agree with that. Do you know what I mean? Are you going to go as the white Mr. T? I've said this before. No? You gotta... I don't know. But, you know, it's just one of them things you cannot go near. you cannot even think about it. I did a daily blend where I was in full, like, you know, minstrel makeup, which was so cleverly done. No one said a word. No one said a fucking word. But yeah, you do whiteface all you want. I don't know if I talked about this in the podcast. That guy fucking Jussie Smullins or whatever, who basically had some attack towards him and then didn't get enough attention for it and decided to fake another racist attack by paying two black dudes. Stupid cunt. Oh, I'm gonna pretend these guys are gonna beat me up. Cool. What do you want the story to be? I mean, I thought you were in show business, bro. Like, you know, I'm sure you know some extras or something. No, I'll get two giant Nigerian guys to beat the shit out of me in what was a fake racist attack, and then pay them in with a check. You fucking stupid cunt. Oh, keep this a secret. Here's an actual paper trail to me paying two black dudes to pretend they're two white dudes beating the fuck out of me. Knobhead. Let's see this Momo challenge bullshit. I don't know. I'm not even 100% sure what it is.
People with suicidal tendencies.
And Denver 7's Connor Wiss joins us to explain what this disturbing Momo challenge is.
Yes, it is a very strange name, but it is very disturbing and it's mm-hmm. important to talk about. So this challenge involves...
I mean, I will call Maureen Momo for the crack sometimes.
Taking commands from unknown numbers and social media accounts.
I love this girl here. Like, she's just like a clean cut sort of, hey, I'm American and I'm normal, but I'm clean cut. But like over here, she would be like a full blown 10 if we're going on the old school patriarchy chart here. Very attractive. But over there, she's like, we playing Jane, you know?
Days. And the part that's extremely...
Also, is your name Connor?
...earning is the dangerous tasks that the so-called Momo...
Is her name...
...social media account important to talk about. So... ...name, but it is very disturbing and it's mm-hmm. important to talk about. So this challenge involves people taking...
What?
It is a very...
Hold on a second.
Connor Wiss joins us to explain what this...
What?
...with suicidal tendencies.
And Denver 7's Connor Wiss joins us to explain what this disturbing Momo challenge is.
Yes, it is a very strange name.
Her name's Connor? This Momo challenge is very strange. Here's our news woman, Seamus, here to tell us about it. Hey, I'm Seamus. That's fucking hilarious. Americans will just name each other fucking anything at all. You know? What's your name? Clay? Okay. That UFC fighter, Gray Maynard. What's your name? Gray, bro. So, how about that? We're just going to throw over to Turlock here. What's the crack with Momo?
Well, today... Hey, I'm Turlock.
It is very disturbing and it's mm-hmm. important to talk about. So, this challenge involves people taking...
What's up, Connor? I've never said this before. Hey, Connor.
Demands from
Fax me.
Numbers and social media accounts for 50 days. And the part that's extremely concerning is the dangerous tasks that the so-called Momo character is asking players to perform.
The Momo challenge passes itself off as a game, but it is certainly not that.
It's creating a situation where they're contemplating very dangerous situations for themselves.
Here's the first clue for parents to be concerned with. The image of this Japanese statue of a woman with bulging eyes and scary features. Here's how this dangerous challenge goes. Users start communicating with Momo on Facebook or WhatsApp, a free messaging service. They're given a series of tasks to finally meet the Momo, and those tasks start off small but then escalate quickly to violent acts with photos for proof. The Momo intimidates and threatens those who don't follow its instructions, and the final challenge can be anywhere from harming to killing yourself. Local schools, including American Academy and Parker, recently sent out emails to parents, warning them of the challenges they are most concerned about, Momo being one of them.
There's something new every day that we have to watch for and make sure everybody understands the repercussions behind most of these challenges.
Law enforcement agencies have put out challenge first came to light after being linked to the suicide of a 12-year-old girl in Argentina. She left behind a video on her phone of the tasks she took before her death. There haven't been any reported deaths from the Momo challenge in the U.S. so far.
Technology experts say this is an opportunity for parents to remind their kids not to trust unknown numbers and to not click on unidentified links.
I don't even know what the fuck is going on here. So if they're thinking this is hilarious, obviously someone has set this up where it's like you can talk to this thing and then it's like, do this, and then kill yourself. It's like a fucking bad movie come to life. I'm pretty sure even if I was 12 and someone was like, I'm the Momo, I'd be like, what? You're a fucking Momo? Oh yeah, hurt yourself? Nah. You fucking weird bitch. It's hard to know, like, I don't know. I didn't grow up with the fucking cyberbully type vibe. Well, people were getting shit on MSN, you know, when I was younger. But it seems fucking, it's just so weird that some fucking loser in a basement somewhere could set this up and be like, I'm going to tell these kids to like hurt themselves, and then people are actually fucking doing it.
Encourage you to change email and social media passwords very frequently and block unknown.
I mean, can you, Momo fucking, can anyone show me like what the fuck they've been sending these fucking people? Momo is gone, says creator killer. What? I don't know if anyone heard my back crack there, but disgusting.
As you've probably already heard, Momo is a terrifying suicide challenge game that has been linked to the death of a 12-year-old girl. Images of the scary-looking monster are spliced into seemingly innocent videos such as Peppa Pig, sparking concern amongst parents worldwide.
Ooh, a wasp!
The Sun has managed to track down Momo's creator to get to the bottom of the suicide challenge. Our search took us to Tokyo to meet an artist named Kasuki Iso, a horror effects artist and author of the book Grotesque Girls. Mane is an eyeball.
So the guy.
So there you have it, from the maker of Momo himself. Momo is gone, and it was only a silly model to begin with. Don't forget to...
I don't even know why the fuck I'm spending time looking this shit up. I don't know, what the fuck is the point of all this shit? He designed it for because he's like a horror effects guy, and then someone else has taken it and just spliced it into Peppa Pig. But I don't know what the fuck is what these people are doing. I've heard shit about that before, like these things catching on. There was that thing caught on before where it was like fucking... Oh, forget the term for it. I don't know, it was like weird kids videos and shit. I mean, what's more fucked up? I don't know. What do you... What do we show fucking kids now? I have no idea. Nothing, probably. You know what I mean? How many people have kids now? And you're like, oh, this is our kid that we've named fucking, you know, I don't know, some fucking bullshit old school name. This is Levi, our baby. And the baby's like, or the kid's like fucking four, and he's like, hey mommy, I was watching cartoons. And you know rightly that they live in Fermanagh.
Hey, I'm watching cartoons on the television. Where's mommy? Where's my device?
You know, and you're in fucking East Belfast in a cafe. What can you show these fucking idiots? I mean, that's a problem. With it, you know, someone goes to dinner and they're like, oh, here, shut that kid up and show him the fucking thing. Why can kids not just be bored? You know what I mean? I don't know how many fucking bullshit things I had to just sit and fucking get through as a child. Oh yeah, we're having fun here. You just fucking sit and be quiet and you're just like, oh, so fucking bored sitting here. Now it's all like, oh, are you bored? I couldn't have you being bored in case you kick off because we're not allowed to fucking smack you in the face. You wee dick. It's like that Jordan Peterson thing, just making kids do things. Because no one makes kids do things anymore. Like, go to fucking bed. I'm making you go to sleep. That's child abuse. And he's like, what am I doing? I'm making you eat and sleep because you fucking need to. What's wrong with that? As stern as you, without hitting them, as stern as you have to be. I don't even know what the fuck I'm trying to talk about now, but it's just, yeah, your kids are going to fucking look up weird shit. But if you're going to kill yourself because of a fucking cartoon, sort it out, you know? Keith Flint killed himself. You know, all these ones killing themselves. Left, right, and centre. I mean, it's there's probably some sort of thing that's happening with, like, modern life with all this shit that really does make it a lot harder to fucking live, you know, than just, like, a real simple fucking life. You know, I don't know what the fuck it is. Too much stimulus, you know what I mean? You need to fucking just... Everyone needs it. I need it a bit more too. You just fuck. You know, you'll go to fucking like that house in Donegal we went to, really remote, some of the most beautiful scenery I've ever seen. You get to the house, everyone just goes quiet because they just fucking are trying to get on the Wi-Fi in the house. It's weird. It's so fucking weird. And meanwhile, I'm doing this for online content. We wouldn't be here without the fucking internet, but I don't know. It's a fucked up circle of shite. Fuck Momo, you know what I mean? All right, we're back. Mild interruption there. One of the stories here I wanted to just watch. I haven't even seen it yet. Kneecap, a band. Are they from Belfast or where are they from? Shouting anti something. What were they shouting? I don't know. Let me play this.
A Belfast band has been condemned for chanting anti-British slogans at a city bar where Prince William had spoken 24 hours previously. The incident happened at the Empire Bar in South Belfast and has been criticised by the DUP. This report by BBC Newsline's Mark Simpson contains some flash photography.
This was Wednesday night at the Empire Bar in Belfast. Good evening, everybody. And
Here's the thing about Shane Todd. If you're like, what are you doing up there, bro? Chatting to all the royals. Had they paid him to do the same event the next night with Jerry Adams, he'd have fucking done that too. You know what I mean?
It's Thursday night and a band shouting, Brits out. Get the Brits out! The band involved are called Kneecap and they've been condemned by the DUP.
Fuck. The DUP, I believe you've said something that doesn't fall in line with our views, so therefore you must go away.
I represent South Belfast and it's the most diverse community in Northern Ireland.
Literally said Belfast.
If someone was to say get out to any group of people, what would that make them? And I think it's really sad that this was the day, literally the day after the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge were there. And, you know, I just think it's sad in terms of their message, which was about bringing people together, in comparison to telling a group of people to get out of Northern Ireland. I just think that is a very stark contrast indeed.
The incident is making headlines, but so far members of the band haven't said anything. So what's the view of the Empire about what happened? Well, I just asked them and they told me that no one was available for comment. Mark Simpson, BBC.
Yeah, because it's probably just a woman serving pizza downstairs. Where are they from though? Are they from fucking Belfast or what the fuck? But yeah, I think they're like an Irish language rap thing. Now, two worse things could never fucking be put together than those two, but we'll play one of their videos, you know what I mean? Are they doing it in a sort of rubber bandits half taking the piss? Yeah, that must be. There's giving your dad a vasectomy. I don't know if that's its song name or what the fuck, but it seems like there's a bit of humour behind it. Let me play one of their songs here. The Kneecap Boys, you know? Shout out to Kneecap. They must be from Belfast. Not a badly made video, in fairness. I mean, absolutely fucking demented. There's something about Irish and a Belfast accent that is so paramilitary, isn't it? So, it just sounds like a threat. But fair play, everyone's got their fucking Bralum double dropping boohily dana. John Kinshika will and the it the walla. Elish Natura and Eshelana. Curdavera the walla mohi buzzard of Yola Kai. Mochara is a slut. Alright, man. Cracking luggers all her me home, my shade a holy. A curna boomy lakella. So go mess it ray. A jeep. Fuck. Madness. Full madness. Anyway, fair play. But, I mean, yeah, I'm sure fucking rubber bandits have shouted Brits out and fucking, you know, all that shit. No one seems to give a fuck. I think it's just, maybe them boys, like, you know, I don't know, it's that thing of, like, if it's a bit more obvious that it's, I mean, they probably absolutely do mean Brits out, but, like, you know, I think it's rubber bandits because the lyrics are in English. You know, it's a lot more obvious that it's comedy, like, but, I mean, not a bad, you know, the flow's good. I can't fucking speak Irish. I can barely string English together up in this bitch. But, there's another one. Let me see this one. See what this video's like. Hey, Facebook, play the HD version. Or in this case, the HD version.
Caught in a cracker show. Well, no, go, Jared. No, Mickey, so what's it, right? Oh,
the shan't be go Haitian Mawala MD murder cultural knock the snail foster riven or you see it's gone down to Mitch or beach like all she so the sneeze a rich so rich just need stop me mega mudgy murna supreme she says for my mala more cat and none
Neil,
of the
two fucking ass up on the show on a fucking joke tell me a giri begging kosher laddie get here.
I wish I could speak fluent Irish just so that I could throw in the words that there's no word for, you know what I mean? Something fucking iPod. Gin and tonic. Not fair play. It's obviously fucking well put together, isn't it? But fuck me, look. Only yesterday in South Belfast. It's in Botanic, you cock. South Belfast. Jesus Christ. I mean, they're fucking literally, you're taking. I seen it in the Nero right beside the Empire. Guy's pacing the street up and down, fucking itching, like, yes, suck your cock, baby, that sort of guy. And finally, the girl got a bit of money from somewhere, bought some drugs, obviously, and he's sitting there, and she sits on top of him, like, straddles him, starts kissing him a bit, and then literally grabs a fucking wad of his neck and just goes and injects something into it. And I'm on the other side with a flat white going, fucking hell, bro. Do you believe the sights here in South Belfast? They're putting heroin in each other's necks. I could barely finish my fucking single shot latte. Is there a more Presbyterian drink than a single shot latte? And you're talking to the guy who literally can't drink coffee, or else my brain turns into just a fucking tin full of wasps. But if I'm going in, I'm going hard, you know what I'm saying? I'll take the fucking hit. I'm not going to be like, can I have a single shot? Actually, you know what the worst thing I ever did was ordered a, because I already had like two coffees, and I was like, I still want the coffee vibe. I was like, give me a, and I'm ordering at the fucking drive-thru in East Belfast. I'm like, can I have a decaf iced latte? And Maureen went, there's so much milk in that. And I went, skinny decaf iced latte, you know, and I'll be right back after I change my tampon, because that's a sexist joke, you know, insinuating that I'm weak the way a woman would be weak who's on her period. You know what I mean? Bring them back the 70s up in this bitch, just like fucking kneecap there, you know what I mean? Brits, hit the fuck. Irish, fucking. who used to do a joke about that? Adam Lachlan. It was funny as fuck. Only he could speak enough Irish that he could take the piss and throw in a fucking. I mean, are they linked? You know what I mean? Because I know some, you know, well-educated, very sensible people who are, you know, fluent in Irish. And then I also know some absolutely fucking up the raz who couldn't speak a lick of it. So I don't fucking know. Let me hit these questions. My shit is plantains is absolutely one of the best things I've ever heard. Oh, that's not even the question, dickhead. Did you watch any of this year's Oscar nominees? No. But I'll tell you what I would watch. Bradley Cooper sliding one into Gaga. Imagine just sitting there like his wife going, okay, don't get too close now. I actually think Lady Gaga's hot for some reason. She's one of there's a few people in this world where you're like, I like fancy them for some reason. Which is why you shouldn't worry about being such an ugly cunt. Because somewhere somebody we'll bang you. You know what I mean? Mickey has a bit about it, about being someone's fetish, and he's all like, aye, but if it looked like I put you through a fucking headboard, and you're like, Mickey, you couldn't put someone through a fucking, you can probably put a car through an MOT. You know what I mean? By the time you get up the stairs, you're on your back. You know what I mean? Seal boy. Look at my search history. Rip from YouTube. Rip from YouTube. Pirate proxy. Rip from YouTube. Comedy movies 2018. Liam Neeson piss. So what am I looking for here? Oscar. Nah, let's not look up that. Let's look up Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga. See, hot. Yeah, I mean, you're like, she's a bit, I mean, oh, tits right out there. Go ahead, Lady Gaga. The tits out. Yeah. Hot though, you know what I mean? Ugly hot. Got that beak. There's a few people like that. You know what I mean? They're all Jewish too, you know? She's Jewish, isn't she? I've heard people say it before. A lot to be said about these Jewish women. What do you call your girl does Broad City? Alana something? They get the penis. You know what I'm saying? I should look up Oscar nominees, see if I've seen any of them. Oscar nominations 2019. It's such a pile of wank. No one ever picks good movies, do they? It's always like, so let me see. I started this podcast needing a piss, and it has distracted me no end. Load up. Now, obviously there's 30,000 fucking sound mixing. Best writing, original screen, best adapted, visual effects, sound mixing, sound editing. What's is best writing the best movie? Best picture. Fuck my asshole. Green Book, Jim Burke. The Green Book, haven't heard of it. Black Panther, not what I thought it was, so I didn't bother watching the rest of it. Cultured. Black Klansman, I need to give another go. I said this to Maureen, right? And this is a fucking legit way that I need to live my life, right? I said to Maureen, it would suit me better if I got up at 8 in the morning, right? And I spent from 8 through to about 12 watching TV and pissing about. And then I'll have some lunch and then I'll work through to like dinner time. I'll have some dinner and then I'll work another shift, which is like 7 to fucking say like 12 or 1. And then I just go straight to bed, which is probably terrible for you. That's the only way I can watch a thing. I'll have to be up and awake to actually watch it. See at the end of the night when it's like, oh yeah, sit down and relax. I can't relax at night time. I need to be working up to the point where I go to sleep. It's so fucked up. Black Panther, couldn't even be arsed with it. Black Klans. Is that dude hot? Michael B. Jordan? Everyone seems to be fucking punching the clam off themselves. Bohemian Rhapsody, whatever. The Favourite. Roma, Stars Born, Vice. I don't fucking even give a fuck. Give a fuck. Stars Born. No, I haven't seen any of them. Bohemian Rhapsody I would watch for the crack, but then it just turns into a fucking thing of who would have been better to play Freddie Mercury than that cunt. Because we did watch, we were sitting drunk the other night and we were watching that Live Aid thing with Queen and we're like, yeah, there's a million people would be better than this fucking asshole. No, I haven't seen him. Let me go on to the next question. How do you keep healthy eating going when you're traveling? I don't. I was gigging in London last week for 2 days, so it's either hotel food or convenience food, plus schedule, and I fucked it up again. Plus schedule wasn't a traditional one, so I just eat when you can, knock my balls into the gym when I get back to make up for it. Yeah. Well, the thing is, if I was dishing out any advice, is really go for it when you can, and don't worry about it too much when you can't. You know? There's like wee tiny things we've done. I mean, I see after that weekend there, I was sort of took the foot off the fitness pedal a wee bit. And after that weekend, I'm just like, nah, we need to change it around. Like, we need to fucking change around. Even lifting the amount of weights and shit I was doing, I was like, I'm going to have to just spend, you know, as many times as I lift weights I need this, the equivalent in like just mobility and cardio, really. Do you know? Because my meathead brain kicks in and I want to do like really heavy fucking weights like a dickhead. But, oh shit, with 22 minutes left. Yeah, it's just do when you can do well. There's things like when we've went to Lavery's, instead of going, oh, we'll head up early and get something to eat and go to Lavery's, we've just made something that we can bring with us and eat. And just even doing that one thing, which is like not having to go out and eat, means you can eat your own thing. And then it means like if you are hungry late at night, you know, you have something made already. You know, you don't need to rely on whatever the fuck's open. It's having to rely on something else really is the problem. But yeah, just do well when you can do well, and then make sure it's like a percentage thing. I would just go like, you know, am I doing more good than I'm doing? I mean, this is awful advice coming from me who literally has had the grossest weekend of all time. But here's the thing. I maintain weight, which is so fucking stupid because the amount of shit I put in my body in the last week, and you're like, oh, you've maintained weight. So maybe if you just didn't eat as much shit, you probably start losing weight. Fat bastard. Any tactics you use to stop getting nervous? Nope, get nervous all the time, terrible anxiety, and never sleep. Nervous is fine. It's all right to be nervous. And then the nervousness never goes away. But if you do a thing, then sort of experience teaches you how to use it rather than... It's like that fucking quote. It's like, who is it? Is it fucking Frank Tyson? You know Frank Tyson? Mike Tyson's. It was like, fire can either heat your house or burn your house down. And it's one of those things. It's like, how can you use the nerves to keep you sharp and fucking whatever? Or do you let the nerves completely fucking tear you apart? Death row meal, starter and mains only. Thanks. That's from Unholy Brand. Jack Montgomery was the last one. Craig Walker. Starter and mains. Fuck. So, the starter would either have to be... It would be some sort of battered prawn. You know, any sort of fucking... Anytime they take prawns and like batter them or make them crispy or something, I shit my pants. And then the main meal would definitely be... some sort of large, noodly, delicious soup with a lot of fucking slow-cooked meat in it. That would be it, probably. Yeah, that might be it. Some sort of pho / ramen, but with like heaps of slow-cooked beef in it or something. Great night last Friday, but why was the bar not even serving during the interval? And that's from Gary Scott. That was... something I wasn't even aware of, so I do apologize for that. But I think what happened was I'd given them a time to a rundown of what I was going to be doing on the night. So like, oh, the comedians are going on 7:45, they're going to be finished by 8:30, and then the bar's from 8:30 to fucking 2:15. So basically they just basically went, all right, well, it's open at 30:30, even though we ran over by 5 minutes, which left fucking 10 minutes. And then they shut it again at 1:45 because we had to start. So that was fucking annoying. But maybe for a live podcast, instead of a stand-up show, I might just leave the fucking bar open next time. So we're learning as we go along, guys. So apologies for that. Yeah, but yeah, I'm sure it was fucking frustrating that you couldn't buy a drink. I mean, if you could tell bar staff to fucking keep the noise down, you could sell drinks. But people go over and go, can I have 2 Magners and a fucking pint? And then the guy goes, I know what. Bang. Smash with the thing. Oh, drop the glass. Change. Kadeesh. And you're just like, if you could fucking do it slightly casually, you could have it open. So sorry about that. I'm sure you could fucking suck it up till 10 o'clock. Zach McZilla. Is fame all it's cut out to be, and one of my vids just hit 1 million views and I feel the same. Haha. Well, I'll tell you something, bro. You've one more video than I do that has fucking 1 million hits on it. You know? Never had 1 million hits on a video in my fucking life. Aaron McCann's had 1 million. All these other fucking dickheads. Pandering. Is fame all it's cut out? What the fuck do you mean fame? I don't know. The idea of fame never comes into my brain ever. You know, I'll never go like, "Oh, I'm famous." I would, you know. No, I don't think about it. I don't know. I mean, I don't even know what fame is. You can do a thing and be known to be doing a thing. Let me see. Fame. Let me see what the actual definition is. Sniffing too much? On coke. The state of being or known or talked about by many people, especially on account of notable achievements. Well, talked about by many people. I mean, yeah, I think it's probably changed over the last while, where it's like fame. It says brought her fame and fortune. That's probably what confuses people. People are like, "Oh, I know you, therefore you must be like fucking better than me somehow." And you're like, "No, absolutely not. Just like doing a thing that happens to get people to watch it. So don't really care if you like it or not. I'll be doing it anyway." Obviously, I do want people to come out and watch gigs. But I don't know. I literally never think of that. I literally don't think about fame or any of that shit. Really? All I think about is, am I the best? And if it could be ours trying, I might be. But I don't know about that. Doesn't cross my mind. But he's got a million hits. So fair play, bro. Because I don't. Same as Aaron. You know, he'd just be like, Aaron will be like, Aaron puts out videos the way people put out albums. You know, like, "Oh, next year's video is going to be fire, bro. And it's going to get sell a tour for me." And it's working smarter than I'm doing it, because I'll just fucking shit it out all day, every day. You know, and here we are, stuck. The old George Best effect, stuck in Northern Ireland. Will you ever get Stephen Nolan on your show? No, bro, that's not really how podcasts work. He probably wouldn't do it to save his own career. Fair fucking play to you for doing the Odyssey. This is from Downey316. What capacity for the gig? We talked earlier, 3,500. And there's probably only about 1,500 tickets left, so let's get them squirted out. Favourite Prodigy song? Probably Breathe. Although I do like Spitfire also. And then Smack My Bitch Up is lethal. But then Girls is pretty fuck. I was playing that yesterday. I was like, Girls is goddamn banging, bro. Girls Prodigy. This podcast is fucking demented this week, I swear to God. I need a guest just to keep it on the reels. You know, keep it between the lines, sir. Oh, fuck me. Fuck me in the ass, you ad cunt. I went out for breakfast this morning and right now, starving. Also going to try and eat a lot less meat, which, you know, goes against everything I believe in, but... skip it on a bit. Big tunes. By the way, absolutely loving this Petrolicious channel, where they just do features on people who have sort of slightly odd cars. Do you know what gives me fat hard-ons? Sleeper style, like, estate cars. They're like, yes, well, the car looks like a standard Volvo, but then you lift the hood and it's 6.5-litre engine. Love that shit. One minute you can be taking your children to school, and then the next minute it will beat a Lamborghini in a drag race. Absolutely love it, bro. Like my car, you know what I mean? I want the fucking C63 version of my car. Looks exactly the same. Exactly the same, except goes like shit off a shovel. But yeah, it's almost my videos at the side there. What was I going to look up? Absolutely forget, because I have no brain. How did you and Maury meet? Also, was there much work in booking the Odyssey? Well, I don't know. It's basically just whatchamacallums. It was Shine. I'm working with Shine. So they basically have their contacts in there. And they took care of it because it just looks a lot more professional than me emailing from colingetuscomedy@gmail.com being like, because I got that Odyssey, what are you charging? $7,000? No sweat. So there hasn't been much work yet. There'll be more work for me selling the tickets. But as far as booking it and everything, no, they kind of did it. I made the poster because you can't trust anyone to do anything. Got to do it all yourself. Me and Maury met because her sister used to go out with a guy who produced a podcast that, which was Audio Picnic. And we met at someone's birthday party at a flat, you know, and then we hung about for a few months. Everyone was in the same circle of friends. And then someone was like, Mickey told me, he's like, do you know that she fancies you? And I went, well, is she mentally fucking retarded? And I went, I don't think so. And then here we are. So it's it hasn't went very well. How do you feel about your recent success? What do you mean? What's recent success? Also, do you think there will soon be a big comic resurgence? Congrats on the SSE, by the way. Well, there is a fucking comic resurgence in this country. I don't know what you mean by recent success, because, well, I don't know. It's just, it's a hard thing to figure out. You know what I mean? You're trying to make a living from comedy in Northern Ireland, which is fucking insane. It has no infrastructure for show business or TV or media or anything. It's a dump. You know, but yeah, I mean, I put up a post that had four pictures together, and it was me, Shane, Mickey, and Aaron. I'm doing the Odyssey, Shane's doing the Waterfront, Mickey's doing the fucking Ulster Hall, and Aaron was doing a tour or something, and it was all his tour dates. Doing big gigs, doing the Limelight and shit like that. So yeah, there are people fucking really pushing it, like, and why the fuck not? I feel like the country deserves it. The country needs a fucking... need something for people to look at and be like, oh yeah, it isn't that much of a shithole. There are talented people. There's fucking unbelievable music here. You know, there's unbelievable comedy. I mean, the fact that there is no infrastructure for comedians over here, like, you can't go on TV because there is no fucking, there is no avenue to get on TV, means that no one has to fucking watch what they say. So you get some of the fucking, I hate the term, but like, edgiest and best comedy over here. So there is a comic resurgence with the likes of Lavery's and whatever. And it all literally stems back to that picture I put up on Instagram of the fucking garage at my dad's house. You know what I mean? The nucleus. Recent success. I don't know what recent success means. I'm not even fucking started, bitch. You know what I mean? Do that Odyssey like it's numb. Dog outside, freaking me out. What are the best Thai Asian places to eat in NI, and have you tried, that you have tried? Just asking, as I know you like your Asian food. In Belfast, there's like Yugo, it's good. We always go to Bow Tree Thai food, it's amazing. There's another Thai place we've tried, like Kamakura is decent. For like ramen and sushi and stuff, you got Lee Garden if you want to go full blown Chinese. But it's all in that one area, Belfast. But the scene's not that big, I would imagine. Fair Fox, do you horseplay in the SSE? Takes a queer set of balls. All right. Have you watched Behind the Curve about Flat Earth? No, because I feel like, much like the Abducted in Plain Sight, I would get so fucking angry at it, I would just have to turn it off. Hey man, not a question, just as much as a wee reminder for you to check out the recording I sent to your Facebook. Yes, that's correct. I wonder if I have enough time to even play this. Bastard. Where the fuck would this guy be? What's his name? Paddy? Paddy. Go on ahead, Paddy. Where are you, you bastard? Reveal yourself. Can't find it. Can't find it. Hold on. Can't find it right now. I'll save that and I'll do it the next time. It was just some Scottish dude talking. I'll play it with a guest. That'll be really funny. If you had to give up one, would you give up sugar or alcohol? Alcohol, probably. How did Lavery's Comedy Club start? Did you go to them with the idea or did they come to you? No, a guy called Rick Crothers, who used to be on that Audio Picnic podcast, he used to DJ in there and basically was able to ask the bar, would you be up for a comedy night? And we started a comedy night that was kind of on and off. Then we quit for a bit just because it's really fucking tough. the Rona Comedy Club, and then I started it back up when we came back from Scotland, and just plugged away at it, did some really painful, fucking quiet, shitty gigs, and then eventually it's become a bit of a thing now, so there we go. And then everyone sees that, like, it's an overnight success, and they're like, oh, I'll try that, and realize that comedy is a fucking nightmare to get started. Where does Billy Connolly come in your all-time comedians list? I mean, he's absolutely one of the very best of all time. But that list is, like, so subjective, and it changes all the time. But there's certain people, like, that are above the fucking, the argument, you know what I mean? Like him, Richard Pryor, George Carlin. There's people that are just, like, they're just what they are. They're just absolute fucking, like, you know, my neck is fucked. They're just bigger than fucking everything. Have you ever considered doing a podcast fully drunk? Well, not considering that I'm literally talking about not wanting to fucking drink ever again. The live podcast the other day. Possibly too late for today's podcast, but what's your opinion on people like Josh Whitcomb? He's on two regular TV shows and has had two seasons of sitcoms commissioned and frequently appears on panel shows, but is chronically unfunny. Is it that he is so generic that TV producers would rather use him than a more edgy comedian, or do you think that there are comedians who are in a group of mates, and when one gets a break, he or she drags up those around them? Why, who do you think's dragged him up? I have no fucking idea. They probably use him because he's just a cute wee funny guy, you know what I mean? He's not like a real, he's just a safe bet. But like, I don't give a fuck. If that's what you're into, why not? Also, I wouldn't judge him till you'd been to see him a few times live. TV kills all the comedy and things. Like, you have to go see him, and he might be hilarious live, you know? How do you go about booking something like the arena you're doing, and what extra things do you need to be done in preparation? You need to be, like, really fucking, I don't know, you have to be very realistic about how many tickets you can sell. That was my only worry, is like, would I be able to fill this out? And from what's sold already, I'm very confident it'll be sold out long in advance. So yeah, that's the main issue. Obviously, you probably need to work with a promotions company, because the amount of money it costs to hire, very few people would just have that lying in their fucking, in their bank account. Like, I mean, I do, you know what I mean? Like, okay. Wearing sunglasses inside, bro, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's nothing. Like, it's fucking nothing. Have you watched the first episode of the Michael Jackson thing? No. Could barely get through the fucking R. Kelly thing. What a fucking weirdo. Locking people in rooms. You know, I'm gonna film you fucking as 14-year-old. Ain't nothing wrong with a little bit of bump and grind. Well, Robert, there is. When the bump and grind is occurring through a pair of Hello Kitty knickers. Anyway, I gotta get the fuck out of here. What a disgusting note to end on. We're in one bar of battery. I have to bar of battery, and I have to fucking edit this bitch in the middle of it. Get yourself an Odyssey ticket. This podcast was absolutely demented. I definitely need a guest on, because I've just realised, ADHD. We've got to get the t-shirts on sale. Lavery's Comedy Club is tomorrow night. The podcast is indeed sponsored by Patreon. If you want to contribute to the podcast, we'll figure out some exclusive fucking shit to get out to the dead-on mafia folk. And that's about it, you know? If we all band together and chuck in a pound, we'll keep this shit pumping through the roof, you know what I mean? Get some merch produced, get it on sale, spread the word, guys, you know what I'm saying? Also, send me in some suggestions of what you think I should walk onto at the Odyssey. I might get myself a fucking an instrumental version of this. Picture the same. Woo! So embarrassed when I had to take off headphones and realize that the wee small ones that go in your ear. Like, scundered.